Dave Robinson has joined us on Sports Byline USA, Hall of Famer, and I mean Hall of Famer in college football as well as the National Football League. When you look around at the running backs that you had to play against, you already mentioned Jim Brown, and you also mentioned others like him. What was it that those backs did that made them so effective?
One thing was the backs were bigger. Jim Brown was 6'3", 220, or something about 228, and he was much bigger than the backs you see today. So they had a lot more power. And today, when I played, the object was they called a 36 play. It meant the three back in a six hole. And they opened the holes up, and the guys burst through them and played everything. Now, with zone blocking, they take smaller. Most of the running backs are smaller, quicker guys who start line up 6 yards deep. They run up the line, they look for an opening, and then they run in the daylight. And that's the difference. There's some guys who you may see it run over somebody on occasion, but it's not like getting hit by a Larry Zonka play after play after play. He was tackling him like tackling another linebacker. He was a powerful, powerful man. The things have changed. And Jim Brown, who was, I think, the best all-around running back there was, my rookie year, the first time I went one-on-one with Jim Brown, and it was the first game I went, first time I played live, and I was all fired up, and I was keen on Jim Brown. He went across the back, so I went across my side. I saw a line open, like Moses parting the Red Sea, and I stepped in, and I saw him hand the ball to Jim Brown. I was a rookie, and I said to myself, damn, here comes Jim Brown. You don't say it from the forties, here comes Jim Brown. So everything I learned from high school on, the head up, back straight, tail low, hit on the rise, wrap, take him down, and threw him for about a 1 yard loss, stay down. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't for the game, it was for a loss. And everybody's patting me on the back for making the tackle. And I thought of one thing. I just tackled Jim Brown. If I don't make it as a rookie, so if I don't make it with the Green Bay Packers, I'll take this film clip and send it to every other team in the league saying, I tackled Jim Brown and I got a job. Jim Brown was a criteria by which you would judge. There were those who could tackle Jim Brown and those who couldn't. Jim Brown was it. He was the man.
Which was harder for Dave, for the linebackers to deal with, a Jim Brown who was a power back or a Gale Sayers who had such great striding ability?
You know, it's hard to say. It's really hard. They both were great running backs. I think Jim Brown was the best all-around running back I've ever seen. So he could run, pass, catch, kick, blocked everything. He had big size. Gale Sayers was one of the niftiest runners. I can't say he was the shiftiest runner, but the niftiest. I played against Hugh McElhaney. Hugh McElhaney had more moves than anybody. Hugh McElhaney, my rookie year, he was the last year he played in the league, and all he did was run back punts. And he was with Detroit. I remember one time we punted to him. He must have run 80, 90 yards back and forth to gain 20. he was something. Hugh McElhaney, he's one of the old-timers in Hall of Fame, and people don't remember him. You know, and that's another thing, too. We get too hung up on the modern era. And you can ask anybody, you're going to ask 10 people now who named some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and let's take the list. And they'll say names like Montana, or somebody go back as far as Bart Starr, Johnny Unitas. So all these different names come up. To me, the criteria which you measure a quarterback by is how many championships he won. And if you can't beat anybody, if you look it up, except Otto Graham. He went to 10 consecutive world championship games, won 7. And that's the greatest. That's the greatest feat by any quarterback. Now, he doesn't have the same poise, or he didn't look as smooth as guys throwing today, but he played in his era. These guys play in a different era, and you can't compare them. He didn't throw 40, 50 times a game. He didn't have to, for one thing. He had Mary Motley to carry the ball, but that's different. And I think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all, if not the greatest quarterback.
I know you and I have talked about Vince Lombardi, and you already said a little bit earlier that you really respected him and how good he was as a coach. But I want to ask you to put into perspective his verbal capabilities of motivating his team, because we have all seen the sound bites of him uttering phrases and what have you to get his men, you know, geared up to play the game. Tell me what he was good at when it came to motivating the team.
Well, I was extremely blessed by playing for two great coaches, Vince Lombardi and George Allen. And they're both very similar in the fact that they would do or say something 1,000 times a week to get you used to it, so you just react and naturally didn't have to think about it. The difference was that George Allen tended to repeat the same thing 1,000 times to drive it into you. Vince Lombardi would tell you 1,000 times, 1,000 different ways. And that may be why, at the end of the season, when getting to the playoffs, when Vince said something was always new and fresh, and he could get you up. With George Allen's teams, that I played on anyway, 10 minutes at the end of the season, got into the playoffs, we were kind of flat. He couldn't get us as high as we needed to be for the playoffs. The playoffs is a whole new season, a whole new ballgame. There's nothing like the playoffs. That was a problem. I remember one time we were playing in the sixth defenses last year, and he said something like, I hope all you guys read the Bible. He was talk every day. That's all he said. And then he came back the next day, I think it was Thursday, he said, you know, in the Bible, of all the great apostles of Jesus, I think St. Paul is the greatest. And that's all he said. We all saying, well, that's nice. And Friday, he said something about, you know, he says, I'm not sure what he said Friday, was late. But look at that. He got down to Sunday morning, and Sunday morning we were in the locker room. He said, you know, Charles, he said, and we started this thing in July. Every single team in the National Football League was in first place with a record of 0-0-0. Tonight at 6 o'clock when the game is over, there's going to be one champion and 15 losers. I know Coach losers. I tell you, St. Paul is one of the greatest prophets of all time. And in his speech to the Corinthians, and he gave the chapter and verse, 2 Corinthians something, he says, he tells the Corinthians, there are many runners in the race, but only one winner. Run to win. He said, people say that we have too much to win. He said, we're here for one reason. We're here to win. And win. We didn't come all the way down this year just to lose this game. He said, and St. Paul would have told us. One win. And, I mean, you don't have to be a Catholic or a Protestant or a Christian anyway. You could have been Muslim, you could have been Jewish, you could be anything you want to. But the way he said it and the way he put in the words, if he had told me at that moment the quarterback was behind the steel door, I would have went to make the tackle without even opening the door. It was just, he had to fire up that much. It's all, and then he knew what button to push. He knew. He once said, he says, I got a guy on this team to play for me with a broken leg. And there's other guys who can't play with a hangnail. It's up to me to know the difference and treat them accordingly. And he did. He's a master psychologist.
And
a great orator.
When you think about Vince Lombardi and George Allen to some degree, I'm just wondering, in a championship game atmosphere, what was their strength as far as coaching in a championship game?
Vince Lombardi was one of the most, well, George too. They both were very knowledgeable of the game. And in situations that arose, they were ready and prepared for it. I played for other coaches that situation came up. They didn't know what to do. He's dead, so he can't get mad at me. Dan Devine, we're playing against the Oakland Raiders. There's a pitch. He pitched it out to McArthur Lane, and he bobbed the ball, a muff. The guy picks up, runs it 94, 96 yards for a touchdown. We told Dan Devine, that's a muff. He cannot advance the ball. A muff has to come back the way he covered it. Dan Devine said something else like, well, if it was a muff, the officials would have called it. And he never questioned it. I'm going to tell you right now, it's in the book as the longest fumble recovery in the history of the National Football League. The films proved it was a muff. And what's really bad is the record he broke belonged to George Howes, one of the real founders of the league. That hurt me more than getting the run. They broke George Howes' record on a muff. And this is hell part for the ball players. I mean, it wasn't a question. You know, like, we watched the game one time, and we needed Detroit to beat Baltimore on Thanksgiving Day, and the wind's blowing real hard. Baltimore punts the ball, and Detroit fair catches the ball on the Baltimore 42. And we're saying, oh, dang, they need 2 points to win. Vince gets up and says, the game's over. So what do you mean, Coach? He says, well, they're going to put the ball in play with a free kick. When they kick it through the uprights, we had 3 points, the game was over. But the Detroit coach, they came out, and they threw a ball, and then they had the kick. Let me explain something, first of all. On a free kick, what he meant was, you have a holder, holds the ball, just like normal, but the defense has to stay 10 yards back. They can't rush it. So it's like doing a practice kick they can do before the game. And you kick it 42 yards, the wind is back. When they threw the first pass and it was incomplete, now they got the ball on the 42. They had to kick it now from the 49, move it back 7 yards for the kick. Now Baltimore didn't have kicked, say, 10 yards back. They rushed 10. And in a hurry, he kicked the ball. He missed the field goal, and they lost. And I knew right then and there, I was just a young kid, my first or second, third year in the league, I said, If Vince Lombardi had been coaching the Detroit Lions, they win the game. The coach they have, they lost the game. And it didn't take him, he didn't think for hours and say, we could do this. It came to him like that. He knew the game. He knew the rules. He knew the game.
Dave,
and he insisted on us knowing him.
I want to thank you very much, but I want to add my congratulations to you being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It is most deserved. Come back and join us anytime here on Sports Byline.
Hey, listen, I love Sports Byline. Anytime you want to call me, I'll tell you what. Call me in August, but after I get inducted, maybe then I'll come down there to realize it.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dave. Take care.
Thank you very much, sir. Enjoy it. Bye-bye.
Dave Robinson with us, the former linebacker and also place kicker who played 12 seasons in the National Football League, most of those for the Green Bay Packers. We continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.